This is the Minding Your Own Business podcast, brought to you by Elder Research. Each episode, we'll bring in data and analytics gurus from around the world as they regale us with their data analytics stories and enlighten us with their secrets for how to turn data into actionable insights. Now, here's our host, Evan Wimpy, who will guide us as we dare to mine our own business.
Hello and welcome to the Mining Your Own Business podcast. I'm your host, Evan Wimpy. Today, I am super excited to introduce Corey Jones. Corey's a senior lead machine learning engineer and innovation coach at Chick-fil-A, home of the chicken sandwich. And what a cool sounding job title that is. Prior to Chick-fil-A, Corey worked as a business analyst in healthcare. He's been a teacher. He's been an adjunct professor. He's super involved in the machine learning space and in the community writ large. He was part of the inaugural 40 Under 40 at University of Tennessee, where he has an MBA. He's won a Volunteer of the Year award with the Urban League of Greater Atlanta. He's been the recipient of the Looking to the Future award and a ton of other things, but I want to be able to ask Corey some questions today, so I won't read through all of his accolades. Corey, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's such a pleasure to be here with you, Evan. So really stoked and really excited.
Okay, awesome. I gave the high-level brief background. Corey, can you give us a little deeper background about yourself and sort of how you got to Chick-fil-A and into the role that you're in now?
Sure. And so currently I am, as you said, a senior lead machine learning engineer, and some of my primary marching orders are really to think about this concept of model operations or machine learning operations or MLOps, and really starting to put some of the pieces in place to help unlock that overall potential for the business. And so that's kind of like my current seat on the bus. But it's kind of funny when you talk about how I got to Chick-fil-A. When I say it was one of those random occurrences. In my healthcare role, I was essentially a business analyst. And I had worked myself out of the job. I think that seems to be my theme of life. And I remember sitting there and the company leadership had said, hey, we want you to be promoted to a principal consultant. And you're going to move from data analyst to principal consultant working directly with our CEO. I was like, yo, like this doesn't happen. Began to start moving places, looking for a backfill, all of the things. And during that time, I bumped into Chick-fil-A and I wasn't looking. And this is kind of funny. It talks about those small touch points in life. They had a little book on the Chick-fil-A table at a conference, the Informs Operations Research Conference. And I walk over to the table because the book rhymed. It said Truett, how'd you do it? That is the only reason I walked over to the Chick-fil-A table. And then from there, I met some amazing individuals. Interview kind of went well. And, you know, the rest is history. And I ended up joining Chick-fil-A and I've been here for about 5.5 years.
That is fantastic. For all the folks out there who are going to be a vendor at a conference or sponsor a conference, that those titles are important, that signage is important. Maybe a rhyme is the key there. It's incredible how fortuitous it can be. And so I think it's certainly been good for Chick-fil-A. Hope it's been a good decision for you. I want to ask a little bit about your role specifically. I think machine learning engineer, it's probably not new necessarily, but it's newer than I think more common terms and common roles like a data scientist or a data engineer. Can you talk a little bit about where you sit in the organization and maybe how you interact with those roles that maybe are more familiar to folks? Like how do you interact with a data scientist? How do you interact with an IT department or a data engineer?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And yeah, machine learning engineer is somewhat of a newer title, but it's something that people have done. It has a lot of connotations depending on the organization. Some organizations, a machine learning engineer actually means a full stack data scientist. Others, specifically within Chick-fil-A, I'm kind of like a hybrid. I have the understanding of statistical underpinnings of the work that our data scientists are doing. I am not a data scientist. I do not build models. Just kind of clarify that. But I also have like a deep understanding of like the data engineering. You talk about data governance. You talk about all of those things. And so when you smush both of those together, you get someone like an ML engineer. My seat in and of itself is a little bit unique because I leverage a lot of internal relationships, as well as I bring a technical SME kind of perspective to some of the things that I do. And so I interact with our data scientists quite a bit. I'm actually on the same team as our data science team. And I am like their champion. I'm their champion for all things engineering. If there's some piece of infrastructure that is like giving a lot of pain for our data scientists to be able to do their work well, I work with our partners in IT and we help to kind of remove that pain. Because at the end of the day, my big thing, and this is just Corey speaking now, is I want people to do what they are hired to do and really just crush it. I don't need a data scientist doing all of the engineering work. I don't need an engineer doing all of the data science work. And so what I do is I make sure, data scientist, what is in the way of you doing what you were hired to do? How do we make it so that you can really flourish and show off those great skills that you've had to build up over the past couple of years? And so that's really how I interact. A lot of negotiations back and forth. I get into the weeds. So there's a couple of things, you know, I got no problem opening up an IDE, get to coding, putting some building pipelines, whatever the case may be. And so it's kind of a weird hybrid. I sometimes joke and say I'm like a middle child. you know, I'm not the oldest or the youngest. I'm somewhere in the middle. And so I can kind of flex into either or based off of the needs of the business.
Okay, that's awesome. And yeah, we talk with data scientists a lot, and that's almost universally the biggest headache of trying to get the data, or clean the data, or access the data. So having that bridge and advocate that lets them do the things that they want to do and they are most skilled at doing. I'll also mention, like you almost mentioned, as a bridge sort of between that IT, data engineering, and data science, the book that this podcast is sort of named and formed after, Mining Your Own Business, talks about bridging the gap between data science and the business, and like business decision makers who would sort of rely on the outputs from some data science model. Do you have much of that in your role? Are you really just between data scientists and data engineer, or do you have links within the business with people that maybe aren't technical at all, but will rely on some of the data science output?
Yeah, I think that's an amazing question. And I do have links to the business. And so that sometimes I'll be a part. And so I think it's also something unique about Chick-fil-A. And one of the reasons I'm always like, man, like this is a sweet deal for our data scientists is like, they're not necessarily just stuck in a corner coding, doing models all day. It's like, they're part of the entire business life cycle. The idea has come up. There's a need for data science, and they become an SME on those product and project teams. In some of those cases, I'll also be aligned with it. We're talking about data, unlocking data. We're talking about cleanliness. What if there is something that's somewhat sensitive? We don't do a lot with that.
Sure.
Just because, you know, that's too sticky. Why set yourself up for failure unnecessarily? But that becomes something that I do get an opportunity to do, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And I should do a little more of it with my innovation coach side of things, which I sometimes I'll get up and I'll say, man, I don't know what today is going to look like. And it just brings joy to me because I get to bring that innovation mindset. So I also help out with some organizations as internally as we go through this process, definitely to think through from like idea. You have an idea, there's a data science potential component to this. Let's talk through it. I'm not one of our analyst consultants. We actually have a team that does some of that to help walk through the business process. But I'm like, I get a chance to walk alongside them and help out and bring that technical expertise to the table.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I really did want to get into the latter part of your job title there as innovation coach. If we think machine learning engineer is like a new or relatively unique job title, innovation coach, really, it's impossible. It seemed impossible that machine learning engineer would be the less interesting of your two job titles. But yeah, I mean, you just spoke to it a little bit, but could you tell us sort of in a nutshell what an innovation coach does and sort of how that role came to be? And, you know, just from a few minutes of chatting with you, you seem like you're very well suited to fill that spot.
Another good one right there. So the innovation coaching side of my role was something I remember as about a year after I joined Chick-fil-A, I saw that we had this innovation coaching community. And I just, you know, you'd see all these great materials, you'll speak with folks, and their mind was really open. You know, they were really thinking about, how do we prepare Chick-fil-A for the next 5 to 7 years? How do we think about this? You know, and also having that mindset of how might we? Think about a lot of the innovation that have come through our organization. And I was like, man, I want to be a part of that. So I sat down with my people leader at the time, and I said, I really want to do this. And I actually was interviewed one of the folks who actually started the innovation coaching program at Chick-fil-A. And it was really interesting. I was like, okay, so I'm getting interviewed for a side hustle within the company. Let me process this for a second, but it was really good. And what I do there is I'm a resource for essentially anybody in our line of business. And what that means is if you have an idea, I can help you take that idea flush things out, ask some of the right questions, even coordinate and facilitate breakout sessions in person, all of the cool things that you can do to help allow your mind to expand. And, you know, some people talk about thinking outside the box. We help to make sure that there is no box in the first place. And so you don't have to try to think inside or outside of a box. Let's step out of that and let's create something brand new. And then sometimes we don't create something brand new. We refine something that's already there, that there are many unknowns. And so I get a chance to do that all the way to launch, from idea to launch. And so that's pretty cool stuff. I've had a chance to touch some amazing bodies of work in that seat of my role, as well as continue to kind of propel the importance of data science and analytics at Chick-fil-A by engaging with some of our potential stakeholders who have been thinking about data science, and then some of those that are current. So,
yeah, that seems like a really forward thinking role and a really exciting thing to hear. It certainly doesn't map directly to this, but we hear like in organizations, there's a digital transformation and trying to make things digital. But this feels a little more in the box, whereas innovation coach feels a lot wider decision space where you can sort of approach things. I'm curious if a lot of the ideas come from people that sit on your team in the data science team, or if they're from other people around that just their ideas are somewhat related to machine learning or analytics.
Well, it's kind of funny. So there are some cases where it's on our team, but most of the cases, it actually comes from the lines of business. Okay. And so somebody have something wild and crazy. It's like, well, I don't know, but I'm curious. I want to see if this makes any sense. And so we have like this concept of yes and. You know, I joke with folks is like, there is no bad idea. There's none. Because what happens is that under the hood, people may say, oh, this has nothing to do with anything. We've already tried that to stop. And my seat on the bus is to help them to unwrap and unravel that and say, yes, and yes, you want to have a giant blimp with Chick-fil-A on it, that, you know, triangulates what customers are, and it will drop, airdrop, cows with, waffle fries in that area. Like, again, that's kind of wild and crazy, but then it's like, yes, and. Yes,
fingers crossed on that one.
We can also have little airplane cows that go around to schools and drop off stuff. And you're like, okay, yes, and you keep kind of growing these ideas. And so some of them deal with data science. The majority of them really don't. So I think that's really the beauty of this seat on the bus. It allows me also to expand my thinking by stepping outside of my realm of expertise, like technical, tactical expertise,
sure,
and really leaning on the innovation coach side. And so that's really where... That's how a lot of different functions get a chance to leverage us as innovation coaches.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I like that idea a lot. And so hopefully folks can, I don't know, it takes an innovation coach role to start the innovation coaching program, but hopefully people can try to leverage that idea and sort of get some creative thought going. Okay. I want to circle back to boring old machine learning stuff again. You said you don't build model. Data scientists are going to be the ones to build a model. You help bridge that gap with engineering and IT. If, you know, a lot of what data scientists do, you know, may not be production work or production focused work. Maybe it's just like a quick one-off, maybe a proof of concept, maybe just some exploratory analysis. I'm curious when you would get involved in sort of the work that a data scientist is doing, or does it take until, hey, we've proven this out, we can implement this at small place and now we need to take it to scale? When does a machine learning engineer need to come and help out with that?
I think it depends. That's the MBA answer, right? It depends. and so there are cases where it may be pure experimentation, but there might be some questions with regards to how do we best bring in this type of data? Not necessarily enterprise data. We have like a team that helps out with that. On enterprise analytics is like, okay, this is the right data. These are the things, but maybe there might be something, hey, the type of data I'm bringing in, let's say it's image, or let's say it's unstructured data. I'm trying to have the right compute that's going to be able to support this. And so I kind of step in and kind of help to think through that and put some framework on it, because sometimes let's just be honest, when you're working on stuff in the cloud, no matter how experienced you are, sometimes it's like, I think this is the right compute. Let me try. And then it's just a whole bunch of optimization has to go after that. But again, that's normally a nitty-gritty engineering function. And so try to step in and help out as much as possible. I mean, as an organization, we have some amazing data scientists that get in there and they do some just tremendous work. And so I step in really to be any type of support. Again, whether that's bridging a gap with some of our data engineering teams, is it unlocking and pushing data, or even just being the squeaky wheel in a room. I have no problem with popping up in meetings and saying, hey, you know what? This is a really valuable data set. And unfortunately, the compute medium that you have is not allowing us to run the models that we need. Is there a way for us to kind of enhance that compute? Let's leverage Spark. Let's leverage some other type of distributed compute outside of like. So I get a chance to do that. So that's it depends. Some cases of pure experimentation, data scientists rock and roll with that, depending on the size, scope of the data, and the type of project. And then during that POC experimentation phase. But then there may be cases where, hey, they got everything. They feel stuff's pretty good. They've done all the experimentation. They feel like they have like a really amazing model. And then myself or our teams, our partners in our IT group, we call it digital transformation technology. So if you ever hear me say DTT, that's what it is. Kind of like equivalent to IT and other organizations. But, you know, we partner with them and we just make it, move it, get it, everything kind of wired up for production. And so production has a lot of connotations, but that's a whole nother topic in and of itself.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't necessarily want to get into the nitty gritty or technical details on productionalizing something that's sort of played out and shown some value, but is there a way in this, you know, maybe at scale, this doesn't really even matter anyway. Are you part of the decision to sort of prioritize that? I know you've got quite a team of data scientists. If you've got, hey, this shows promise. There's only so much resource to try to productionalize or scale out some of those solutions. Are you involved in that decision at all, or how does that come to be?
I think that's an interesting question, because one of the things we try to do, you know, you hear that Pareto principle, 80% of models never make it in production. And so what happens is most of the work that we're doing is actually based off of business needs. And so it's kind of like you're working on something that's really going to deliver value to the business, because we have clear stakeholders. We have all of that. And so odds are the majority of the work that our team is doing will be put in some form of production, unless during experimentation, they identify you're missing key data or there's something that's not necessarily viable for us even to push any further with this body of work until, you know, blockers are removed. And so I think that puts us in a really good place. So it's not necessarily data scientists kind of playing with data. I see this data, I have this crazy idea. And so that sets us up, I believe, for success with that. And so with regards to prioritizing what goes into production, when you have, like, let's say I got 15 different projects that need to go into production. Again, that also depends. There may be certain teams of our data scientists that have like support from engineers within our DTT group. And so what happens is, let's say those five out of 15, those first five have like their own support group. Those support engineers will help them push it into production. Then there may be cases where some of our data scientists are like, hey, I'm pretty nifty with this stuff. I think I can get it all the way to about 95% done from a production standpoint. I just need somebody to run through code review, make sure everything is wired up appropriately, and then do that last 5%. And so there are cases like that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it also ties back into your discussion before about being able to link with the lines of business and being involved in those conversations to help push that prioritization through. Okay, so I want to ask you one more question here. It's not always obvious that, you know, maybe there's occasionally tension between the data science team and the data engineering team or the line of business and trying to get aligned on which projects to pursue even as a proof of concept and then which ones to scale out. Let's just, we've got an easy button, we've got a magic button, and everybody is aligned to the Corey Jones vision. You get to pick something and everybody's, hey, we're 100% on board. This is what we all want to work on. And we all have to share the exact same vision that Corey Jones has. Is there obviously a magical fairy tale land? But if that's the case, what do you want to push for? What would you like to do?
Oh, man. Why are you hitting me with these really difficult questions, Evan? Going to make me think really hard. So if I had like that magic pie in the sky, again, all stakeholders are happy. Everybody's good. We're fully aligned. I have what I call a big BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. When I think about models being pushed in production and being able to deliver continuous, consistent, and resilient value to the business, my idea would be I want us to be able to put any model after data scientists and or their immediate team have said that we feel like this is good enough to be put into production within 5 minutes. I want it to be a frictionless process where there's much automation and processes underlying. So it's not necessarily bloat. So it's like, okay, I've done my experimentation. This is where this goes. This is the next step. These are the next steps. It's so crystal clear, so frictionless within 5 minutes that data scientist given check mark, I feel good. That's all right. If my name's on this, we're out there. So I think that'd be one thing. The other one I'm going to kind of channel for all of our machine learning engineers and model operations professionals, not necessarily just Chick-fil-A, but all over the world. And one of the themes that I continue to hear is like the challenges where it's kind of like your engineering team is over here and then your data science team is over here. And as you said, it's kind of like the back and forth and kind of working with them. And then certainly, different people trying to work with the stakeholders. It's like this big mess. If I had like a huge vision, I would say allow your teams to have like small teams, small but effective teams, whether that's a data scientist, an ML engineer, a data analyst for visualization, data munging, whatever the case may be. Like kind of have like small 3 to 4 man or woman teams that focus on these projects. And then like they're able to technical execution to have the right people there. And I think that would change a whole bunch. Yes, and to begin to think about how do you structure your teams. And again, this isn't for Chick-fil-A. This is for everybody based off a lot of themes that I've heard. But that would be the other thing. Like I've seen some amazing work for those teams that have the engineers and the data scientists sitting on the same team, the same leadership, the same vision. And so it's not like, hey, we're over here in engineering, we don't understand all this stuff. Or hey, we're over in data scientists, we don't understand all this. Let's get alignment. Oh, your departmental meeting is at this time. It conflicts with the meeting we had. Like all this back and forth. One vision, one leader. Execute. And I think that would be another pie in the sky for like me. We kind of have that solid here at Chick-fil-A, but it's just something I think about for a lot of the other professionals in my space.
Yeah, I like that vision a lot. And there is often a lot of friction between those engineers and the data scientists, even if it's not like tension and negative friction. There's just things in communication and thoughts and stakes to try to overcome to push forward with anything. So yeah, I think as teams are growing their analytic capabilities, like most teams are, it's really important to think about organizational structure. And that is a really key piece there. How do you reduce that friction between those engineers and the scientists? Okay, I know I told you that was the last question, but I got to ask one more question. I'm a happy Chick-fil-A customer. I love going to the store. I'm a spicy chicken sandwich guy myself. I've had nothing but positive interactions in, I don't know, 1,000 or 1,000,000 visits to Chick-fil-A. Everybody's so pleasant. Is it like that at corporate Chick-fil-A too? Is it like that on the machine learning team? Are people just generally super nice and pleasant to be around at Chick-fil-A?
You know, I think that's an amazing question just because I always think about that every day. It's kind of like you have to pinch yourself from a Chick-fil-A standpoint, because I'm like, man, these are some amazing human beings. Folks who come in with the mindset of, we're going to have the best expectations, you know, or assume the best. And so I may be having a bad day and I might say something, maybe not as kind, but we always assume the best. And we have like the conversations that, I mean, I've worked at many other organizations. It's just like, I've had discussions with leadership and just my peers that I would have never dreamed about. And so ultimately, yes. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was interviewing at Chick-fil-A, I remember I was interviewing at a bunch of different companies as well. I mean, it was that season. And so I would go to these organizations and you'd see people looking down, sad, looks like they have just wore out at these different companies. But I walked into Chick-fil-A and I didn't feel any of that negativity. I didn't feel folks who, you know, we're like, I signed up for 40 hours. I'm actually working 90. That's the only way to get my job done. I didn't feel or see any of that. Like everybody was kind and nice. I'm sitting at the front, you know, in retrospect, it was like senior leadership were stopping by and they saw me sitting up there in my suit. You know, it's like, okay, make sure I'm good. I want to put my best foot forward. They're like, sir, would you like some coffee, some hot chocolate? Like this wasn't like our concierge desk. They had checked on me. But like these were just people walking in, and that heartbeat of servant leadership from day one was one of the reasons that I was like, I think this is a place I can be at. And those were some of the things that really make a difference for me. But yeah, it was the people on internally are amazing. And I'm just so grateful to get the opportunity to work with and for a company that respects me as an individual, but also that makes sure that we have the right heartbeat. And that's from like the top down. I mean, I got all types of stories from my previous CEO, Dan Cathy, and then our current CEO, Andrew, like just like interactions that we've had whether it be cracking ball jokes or just, you know, just talking about life and business. And so it's really, really amazing.
That's great. That is a really great answer. It makes Chick-fil-A sound great. I'm sure Chick-fil-A is super happy to have you there. Corey Jones, we were super happy to have you here on the Minding Your Own Business podcast today. That's all the time we have. Corey, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure. It was completely mine.
All right. Fantastic. If you're looking, if you're a data scientist, data engineer, machine learning ops person, Chick-fil-A sounds like the place to be. So stay plugged in there for sure. If you're looking for podcast material, make sure to like and subscribe and multiply and divide. And we'll see you next time on the Minding Your Own Business podcast. Corey, thank you.